Welcome to The Leader's Edge, where we celebrate leadership and shine a light on the visionary leaders that are shaping our future. And I'm H.R. Huntsman, founder of The Leader's Edge, creator of The Leader's Edge Performance Engine and Leader's Edge University. And I am thrilled to bring you stories from leaders who are making a difference around the world. In each episode, we champion the innovative strategies, courageous decisions, and inspiring journeys of those who lead with purpose and passion. So whether you're looking to refine your leadership skills or you simply want to be inspired, my friend, you're in the right place. Today, we are joined by a leader who has shaped the future of manufacturing for over 30 years. John Eby is a partner, sales manager, and applications engineer at Toledo Integrated Systems in Ohio. With more than 30 years of experience, John has been at the center of the company's growth and innovation, helping it become a trusted name in the industry. Armed with a degree in electrical engineering and an unmatched depth of industry knowledge, John brings not just technical expertise, but also a vision for leadership and collaboration that continues to move the field forward. His career is a story of dedication, innovation, and the power of steady leadership in a rapidly evolving industry. We are excited to dive into his journey, his insights, and his perspective on where manufacturing is headed. So join me as we gain leadership insights from John Eby. John, thank you so much for taking time with me today. We're at FabTech 2025. You stopped in for this show. I really appreciate your time, my friend.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Toledo Integrated Systems, what the heck is that?
It's a company that manufactures control systems for stamping presses.
Okay.
We also do force measurement, tonnage monitors, things of that nature.
Okay. And what are you getting here at FabTech? What are you looking for?
So we have a booth here.
Okay.
So we have been meeting with current customers. We've been meeting with potential customers. And then in addition, we actually sell to some of the other people here that have booths.
Okay.
So we get to see them and continue that relationship.
So before we hit record, you gave me some backstory. I love your story. Third generation, you're a partner now, but I want to hear how you got in the business and what you've learned over the past 30-something years to set you up for partnership.
How I got into the business?
Sure.
So
start there.
You want that whole story that I...
Sure, why not?
While I was going to college,
yeah.
I was working for Sears, and I knew I needed some experience because Sears was not going to help my EE degree. I answered an ad in the Toledo Blade in the newspaper and started part-time while I was in school. And when I was graduating, the original owner came to me and asked me what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I said, I'm going to go look for a job. And he said, why don't you stay here? And I started as an electrical engineer doing control systems and did that for a number of years. And then I slowly got more and more into sales. And I was in charge of selling for one department. And then now I'm a sales manager for our company.
So I have a saying, and the saying is success leaves clues. Every high achiever, successful person, business owner, entrepreneur that I've ever talked to, they can trace their life back to when they learned a few traits that have led to their success. If I were to go back to your middle school days, your high school days, your college days, what would the clues be that I would see and go, that's led you to be a successful business leader?
I think some of it has to do with money, because money doesn't define success,
sure,
but it doesn't hurt. And I remember when my senior year in high school, my math teacher, Mrs. Loy, she had a chart on the, not chalkboard, on the whiteboard, basically the highest paid person graduating with a 4-year degree. It was electrical engineer that year.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm going to be that guy.
Okay.
And I always had, I knew I liked engineering type things.
Okay.
So that's how I started.
Okay.
And then probably the second thing is when I got into it at University of Toledo, I was pulling average grades and I seriously thought about switching things up. And at the time I was dating my now wife, and I said, I think it's time for me to do something different. And I maybe had some crazy ideas. And she said, if you do that, I'm not sure this is going to work out. So it was a good kick in the pants that I needed.
Right.
And I put it together and graduated. And my wife and I have been married for 26 years.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, thank you.
So it tells me a couple stories. You were given that whiteboard deal and you picked high earners, but it shows me that you're also steadfast and heading toward a goal. It wasn't some flippant thing. You said, make some good money over my life, but you kept at it. Now wife made sure you stayed the course. So there's some steadfastness there. You told me off camera that one of your mottos is the harder I work, the luckier I get. Tell me about perseverance. Tell me about tenacity. Tell me about grit.
I take pride in finishing projects.
Okay.
When I was a controls engineer, there's definitely a good feeling when you finish a project and you look at it, the customer's happy, and you're proud that you did that. In sales, it's a different thing.
Very much.
It's a challenge that you're dealing with people,
yeah.
And you're extremely happy when you get the sale, but the game changes. Now you're turning it over to people that you got to rely on.
Right.
Turning it over to a team.
Yeah.
You have to have a good team.
Sure.
But it's following through. It's okay, now sell. You got to make sure the customer's happy, following up with them, making sure the team is doing their job. And if maybe they don't realize that there's something going on and it's my job to figure that out and make it right.
Yeah. So leadership is my craft. Building teams is my passion. I probably talk to 200 leaders a year. Excuse me. I'm very curious about when you went from employee to partner. That shift right there is a critical shift. What did you have to learn? What mistakes did you make? What lessons did you gain?
I know exactly what you're asking because it's a different feeling.
It's a very different feeling.
Where you're focused on a project when you're an employee. You're focused on your job.
Yeah.
There's things that are happening around at the company that you don't pay attention to. You heard about this, you heard about that, whatever. But now, as a part owner, I hear about that and I want to help.
Right.
I got to help fix this. Our structure, we all have our job, the four partners, but I got to help stay in my lane and provide some guidance, but it's not my job to do that job. But yet, I definitely feel it.
So what's it like? Because what I know about leadership in my own companies and all the owners that I talk to, we feel the same way, is that weight of responsibility that comes on. You're carrying that mantle of responsibility now that you didn't carry before. All the good leaders I talk to, they talk about, I'm responsible for these families. They help put food on their table and their kids, and all their dreams become, I'm part owner of their dreams as well. How do you carry that responsibility?
That probably makes me work harder.
Yeah.
Because here's one, my dad, when you become part owner, my dad's, I didn't think you're going to travel as much anymore. I'm like, Dad, I got to travel more. It's because I'm responsible, just like you said, I'm responsible. These are people who are relying on me to keep them busy. I don't want to lay anyone off.
And right.
For me not to do that, I got to keep work coming in and keep it the best I can.
Yeah.
I can't control everything, but if I don't work hard, I can't fulfill those obligations for everybody.
Now, you have a pretty good-sized team here at Toledo. How would, if I were to interview those people, those dozens of people were sitting right here, and I said, tell me about John. What makes him a good leader? Let's go good first. What makes him a good leader? What would they say about you?
I think I'm fair. I treat people the way I want to be treated.
Yeah.
I don't want to say demanding, but I know what I expect out of myself.
Right.
And I can't expect quite that, but I have high expectations.
Okay.
And when things don't go the way I think they should, I'm not throwing a big fit. I do, if I don't share what I'm thinking, they're not mind readers.
Right.
So I have to help them understand where I'm at and why some of that's important.
Okay.
And sometimes they give me feedback that I need to listen to.
All right.
Because they have good ideas and they can help me.
Would you say you're a pretty good listener when you get critiqued?
That's tough for everybody.
It is tough.
But I like to think that I am.
Okay. All right. If I were to poll them, what would they say? What do you think?
I think they would say that, you know, that I listen good.
Okay, he receives feedback pretty well. Where as a leader do you need to grow, do you think? As you're interrogating yourself and you look in the mirror and you say, in the next 5 years, 10 years, I want to hone this edge of leadership, what would it be?
I think I need to probably get to know the team better because I keep myself pretty focused.
on sales?
In sales and tasks.
Okay.
Whereas, one nice thing about FabTech, I have my sales team here. We're going out to dinners. We're doing things like that. It's easy to get to know that part of the team. But we have 55 employees.
Yeah.
I've only got 5 people here.
Okay.
So there's 50 people that would, that I probably should get to know better.
Okay. One of our phrases at Leader's Edge is that connection precedes direction. Before I can direct people, I need to connect with them. You're saying I could work on that piece.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about generations. One of the things that we've learned from COVID especially, it's highlighted the differences in, we have, 4 generations now in the workforce. Boomers are still there. Gen X, that's me. Millennials coming behind me. It's my kids. Gen Z's coming up. The workforce is different for them. How they see work itself is different for them. The amount of effort they want to give, they have a little bit different values. How are you finding that at Toledo, and how do you lead the 4 generations differently, if at all?
That's a magic question.
It isn't it?
And everybody's got a gift and a skill. And I think management is trying to put the right people in the right place to be successful.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, right now with that mixed bag that you talked about, it's different for everybody.
It's very different.
And I don't have social media accounts. It's just my personal thing. And it's hard for me to see someone on their phone a lot.
While they're at work.
While they're at work. I have the same struggle with my kids. That's engaging with them and helping them understand why there's a time and a place for some of that. And,
yeah.
And then being a little bit lenient because it's a lot, the younger ones, if this doesn't work, I just go somewhere else.
For
there's
sure.
No, what's the word I'm looking for? Where they just stay at one place. They start a career and they start here and they finish the same place.
Yeah.
It
hardly exists anymore.
It doesn't. Yeah. And we're very fortunate. Our company, I just asked before coming over here, so we've had some gentlemen that have been with Dell, just retired 40 years at our company.
Wow.
So with him retiring, it has now dropped our average length of employment to 13 years, which is huge.
That's amazing.
For 55 people, that is a real number.
That's a big number.
So I feel like our company's doing a good job.
Okay.
By retaining the experience,
yeah.
And that helps be successful too.
What are you doing to keep people? Because I always teach in our workshops that people shop for jobs now, like we look for restaurants.
Yeah.
And so you must be doing something. In my mind, it's our job to keep them. It's not their job to stay. It's our job to create a culture where they want to stay.
Yeah.
So what are you doing?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is profit sharing.
Okay.
So I think when you work for somebody, you feel how busy they are. That doesn't always mean you're making a ton of money. Because you can work real hard and not make much.
That's a fact.
But in general, if things are going the way they should be, the harder you work, the more money's being made.
Yeah.
Which in profit sharing, you're sharing. Since we take an ownership in 20, our profit sharing, because the previous owners did it as well.
Okay.
Our profit sharing checks, we've made a commitment to, there actually have been higher than I used to get when I was just an employee.
Good for you.
Because we want to reward hard work. And everyone works hard.
Is that because you're profiting more or you're sharing more? Or
both.
Both things,
yeah,
are true.
Our business has grown.
Good for you.
And we're, on a percentage basis, we're sharing more percentage of profit than what was previous.
And there's more profit to share.
And there's more of it, yeah.
Good for you.
So we've come up with a kind of a plan to figure that out.
What are you doing well as a company? What makes you stand out in your industry?
I just said this to someone today. The hardest customer to get is the one you lost.
That's a fact.
And I had one of my competitors come up to us here at the show and said, compliment how good we're doing. They said, once they get your stuff in there, they don't want to switch. And that's not always easy.
Because they're trying to get your customers
sure
to come
are.
To them.
They sure are.
And they're like, no, we're good.
So
good for you.
I'd love to tell you that we're perfect. We don't make mistakes.
Of course.
That's just not real.
Of course it's not.
So when we do make a mistake, we make it right. And sometimes it costs money to do that. But at the end of the day, when they come back and want to order again, you didn't lose that guy. I could easily say, hey, I'm not taking care of that problem. That's your problem.
Yeah, right.
Then they're going to say, there's someone else that does this too.
That's right.
But when they come back, usually the repeat orders is where you make more money because you've already know the culture with that customer.
Yeah. Built some trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what's next for you as a leader? Like, where are you growing? How are you changing? How are you evolving?
For me personally?
For you personally, yeah.
Of course, I am thinking of retirement.
Yeah.
My daughters are young. it's not for a while.
Okay.
But I am thinking of, I feel like I've been blessed with this gift I've been given. And I am hoping that myself and my partners will pass it on.
Okay, good.
It would be easy and probably more profitable for me to find someone to buy our company.
Sure.
I'm not interested in that. Money's not everything. I've done well, but I want to pass along what I've been given to someone who deserves it. And they're not going to just get it. They're going to have to buy it like I did, but it's different. It's to give them an opportunity to live the American dream, right?
How have you changed since you were that kid in high school that looked at that EE degree, the electronic engineering, as a high earner, and you're looking for that big wage, to now this guy who wants to be a legacy builder and pass on now to be the fourth generation? How have you changed from that kid?
I don't know. I feel like in some aspect, I feel like I'm living in a dream world, because I did not imagine that this was not in my dreams.
Right.
I did not see this
better
coming.
Than you expected.
Better than I expected.
Oh, good for you.
And it goes on to, like I was just saying, I want to pass that along.
Yeah. How old are your girls?
16 and 13.
Okay, let's go with the 16-year-old. Last question I always ask everyone on the show, as I shared with you off camera, one of my goals for this show is always to invest in the leaders coming behind us. I believe it's a responsibility of ours to pass on what we've learned. So let's talk about your daughter, someone like her, a young man like her, just coming out of high school, maybe going to college or trade school, or just getting in the business world. What one piece of advice would you give your 16-year-old or that 18-year-old graduating from college that will help them build a career of success?
It goes back to the harder you work, the luckier you'll get.
Okay.
If you want to go to college, that's awesome. If you want to go into a trade school, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But you have to work hard no matter where you go.
Okay.
And if you're going to go to college, you have to look at the degree you're going to go for, and does it make money? Can you justify it?
Okay.
College is expensive.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But you had to pick a degree that's going to pay money.
Okay.
So that way you can, but again, hard work.
Hard.
You can't get away from working hard.
No matter what you do, you got to work hard.
Yeah, and you got to take care of yourself from a financial. You could really hurt yourself with credit card debt, with making bad decisions.
Okay.
We all want things, but you've got to be content with where you're at for the day. And if you want more, go get it and work hard. No one's going to give it to you. Not everyone can win Powerball.
I sense a lot of gratitude in you as well. You come across as a guy, you just talk about, it's a gift. It's more than you ever expected. You've been given this gift. It feels like there's a lot of gratitude in you. Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
Or feel like it?
Yeah.
Work hard. Be grateful. Great formula. John, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to continue watching you, staying connected with you, and I appreciate your time on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. That's it for today's episode of The Leader's Edge. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope today's conversation inspired you to lead with even greater purpose and passion. Here are my three big takeaways from our conversation with John. Number one, hard work. We hear it again and again and again and again. There is no substitute for hard work. Listen, if you want to build a successful career, if you want to build something meaningful, if you want to create a company or a culture, it's simply going to require hard work. There is no way around it. Building something great is not for the meek or the faint of heart. It requires work. Second thing I was reminded of is the power of gratitude. Few things change the mindset and culture of a company more than gratitude from leadership. Gratitude and appreciation, powerful creators of culture. The third thing that I learned, my big takeaway, is that John is third generation leadership, and he, like many of those taking over for parents or grandparents, say similar things. Learn from and honor those who went before you, then honor them further by building something great on the foundation you were given. Great episode from John. Listen, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more leaders like you. And that's the entire point of the show, is to inspire and improve leadership. All right, stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, leadership insights, and updates on future episodes. Don't forget to check us out at yourleadersedge.com and follow us at Leaders Edge Podcast on all major platforms. Until next time, keep pushing boundaries. Keep leading at the edge. I'm HR Huntsman, and I'll see you soon.